Somebody say it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord, where I can receive instruction, correction, encouragement, love, joy. Oh, it's so good. It's so good to be here with you today. I am so glad you're here today. I believe this with all my heart, that God has something in store for each one of you. And each one of you, you may hear something different. But He has something that He wants to get to you today. He has something that you need to hear today. And I believe that if you will hear, if you open up your ears, your spiritual ears, to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today, it'll make a change in your life. Something will happen. Something will happen that will make a change in your life, and you'll be able to go out and face this world with a different attitude, a different understanding. It'll be different. It'll be different. I like right before that scripture that I was going to read. I didn't read that one. Let me go back to the one I was going to read, if I can find it again. That says in Proverbs, I'm not going to be able to find it, something to this effect, that the word of God is, or the man of, I'm going to mess it up, is like a deep well. And you need to draw it out. So that's why we say almost every week, did you come expecting? Did you come with an expectation in your heart to hear from God? Because let me say this, you know, I'm up here, I'm standing up here, but if what I am saying is the Word of God, then it's as if it's coming from God Himself. Now, you got to listen to me. I'm not calling myself God. Don't you confuse this. If what I say is in this word, it is as if God was speaking it Himself. Now, if I say something that is contrary to this word, then y'all need to let me know. And we will reason together. But if it's in this book and I am proclaiming it correctly, it's as if it's from God Himself. And you need to take it as that. Amen? Listen, before we get started, I just want to say a couple thanks to a couple people that I forgot to do this last week. And of course, now he's not here. But Dusty and Kenny put together Nikki's design of this wall in the background here. And Kelvin loves it, I know, because it causes such an echo to come off of sound. And I do appreciate their help. And not only that, but Les and Dean and Dusty and Kenny. I don't know if y'all have been by the property lately. You know, we've got a piece of land out there across from the Cracker Barrel that we're in the process of believing God for great things for that property. And so we've cleaned it up. Rich Caldwell has leveled that building. I mean, it is just completely gone. Looks good. And Dean and Les and Dusty and Kenny, am I missing anyone? We're out there and cut that big old giant pine tree down. I don't know if y'all remember that pine tree that was sitting in front of it. And I said, Dean, you got any big ropes? No. You got any chains, big chains? No, we don't need none of that. I said, but them power lines, they're right there on the road. You know, if that thing, nah, that thing's going to go that way. And sure enough, it went exactly where they wanted it to go. And so I just encourage you, listen, that land, you all are part of that. So what am I want you to take ownership in it. Meaning that how can I say this? We're all family. You know, this building, these chairs, these lights, without getting, I don't want to sound weird here, but we're all part together. So that land is part of you all. So this is why I want to say, I would almost say I expect you to be believing for that land to either sell or to be used mightily in the kingdom of God. So for you to go and drive by and see what's going on, maybe even stop in, pull in on the driveway. There's still gravel there. Pray over that land. Seek God. I mean, He can speak to you just as easily as anybody else. So, anyways, thank you all, those guys, for their help in clearing that land. And if you look at it now, I mean, it looks big. It's huge. I mean, before it just seemed so narrow. It looks huge. It's going to be used tremendously for the advancement of the kingdom of God in this earth. Amen? Can we agree with that?
Yes.
All right. Praise God.
That's the word from the house.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. See, my helpmate here, one day she'll be up here beside me. And then I won't miss a detail. She'll help me out in every way. But that is the wood from the old house on the land. Some of it from the house portion. Some of it from the roof of that shed that was there with it. Not shed, it was a block building. But so that is from, that's a piece of that land that is going to be such a blessing, I believe, to this church, to this body. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, glory. I'm really wanting to get into this. I had set up, man makes a plan. But we have to trust the path that God puts us on. But, that would be a sermon all in itself right there. I believe some of you here today, I believe this is of the Spirit of God. I believe some of you are sitting here today and you have planned out every step of the way of your life. Even from childhood, you knew what you wanted to do as far as a job. You knew the kind of person you wanted to marry. You knew where you wanted to live, what area of the world you wanted to live in. You knew how many kids you wanted to have. You knew grandkids that you wanted to have. You've planned all this out. And some things haven't worked out the way that you planned them out. And you're thinking to yourself, well, it just wasn't meant to be. I'm here to tell you that God has put you on a path. And that path has led you to this moment, right now, here in this earth. And it has not been wasted time. Whatever you have gone through, whatever you're going through, it's not wasted time. He is preparing you. He is preparing you for such a time as this. Right now, right here, this day, this place. And you're going to see some things that you never imagined. Because you thought that your plan was dead. You thought your plan was over. You thought you missed it. You thought God maybe missed it. But no. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what He needs you to do. Now we got to get on board. We've got to open up our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and telling us for this day, this hour. Because you, I'm pointing a finger to each one of you right now, are going to be used mightily if. What does the word say? Resist the devil and he will flee. Well, there's a word before that. Submit to God. If you will submit to God, He will use you mightily in these last days. Amen? We've been talking about the last day some, and I, just for a quick review, I want to turn over to 2 Timothy. and share what I shared last week briefly. Because I believe that, oh my goodness, I believe that we are in such a time that we are going to see things come upon this earth and we need to get prepared. That's why we're talking about going deeper with God, right? You know, that's why we spent a whole year or more talking about getting in alignment with your assignment that God has and going deeper with God. And out of 2 Timothy the other day, I shared in chapter 4, out of the Amplified, verse 1. And Paul's talking to Timothy, his son in the faith, saying, I charge you. And that's a strong word. We went over the definition last week. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by in the light of his coming and his kingdom, herald and preach the word. Paul is telling Timothy, herald and preach the word. And we said we could say that for us. We're to herald and preach the word, to keep our sense of urgency, to stand by and be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as a preacher of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. And Kelvin brought that out today in class, talking about how I will say of the Lord. We need to be saying things of the Lord. When contradictory things to the Word of God come before us, we're to be saying of the Lord what the Lord says about that situation. We're to be heralding and preaching the Word. You know, in the times of old, a herald was an official messenger bringing the news of the king. The herald would bring the news of the king. We are to herald and preach the gospel, bringing the news of the king, King Jesus. That's what we're to be heralding and preaching, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that he came and died for us, for them, whoever you're talking to. Herald and preach the word. It means to make a proclamation. To make a proclamation of a soon coming king. And that is why I believe that, again, he's got me on this, teaching this class, starting this class on end times and introduction into the book of Revelation. It's not a book to be feared. It's not a book to be confused about. It's very simple. We're going to lay it out. We're going to talk about it. We're going to discuss it. We're going to go methodically through it and show you just what times we are in and what is to be expected and what is coming. And it's going to build, I believe, a sense of urgency in us to proclaim, to herald, to preach the good news of a soon coming king. Amen? That's why we have to look beyond the here and now. What do I mean by that? We cannot look to our circumstances. Whatever we're going through, whatever's happening around us, we can't look inward to that. We got to be looking upward. Upward, beyond the here and now. We need to rise above our circumstances and see the soon coming king and proclaim it. And proclaim it. There is a day coming when it'll be too late. There's a day coming when it'll be too late to choose. I mean, that right in itself should create an urgency in you to share this life with all those we come in contact with family members, friends that we love, we say we love. It should create an urgency in us, looking beyond the here and now, and we should herald it. We should proclaim it. We should preach it and not be ashamed. Amen? How many have been reading in the book of Romans? I hope you've been in there, because we're going to jump right in the smack dab middle of it today. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. I love the book of Romans. There is so much contained in these 16 chapters. So much to glean from these 16 chapters in the book of Romans. So much that Paul is trying to communicate to us through this book. It would benefit you tremendously. It'd benefit you tremendously if you just got in this whole book right here. Amen? Amen. If you just opened it up and trusted the Spirit of God, to be led of the Spirit of God, to understand what He is saying through this book, it would benefit you tremendously just to open and read and glean and get revelation. But today it's going to especially be important for you to understand and glean from the book of Romans. Yeah. Amen? So I hope and I encourage you all, if you haven't started, start. If you've started and you've laid it down for a little bit, pick it back up. If you've read all the way through it, speed reading like Judy did. I love you, Judy. I kind of set you up that day. I don't even know if you remember me doing that, but I'm sorry. But check, right? I usually pick on Gene. I know. I'm sorry. It's by association. You're right beside him. I can't help it. But I hope you're in this book, and I hope you're just chewing on the meat that is in this book. And I'm just going to start in verse 1, and we're going to go down here and look at verse 8, because I think there are some very important and key subject matter here that we really need to digest and get into in talking about going deeper with God, and talking about being prepared and ready, and talking about the soon coming King and His kingdom. And we're going to be a part of that if you're born again. And we can't be distracted by everything going on around us. There are things going to come and happen. Deer are going to run into the side of your vehicle. You're going to hit the back of a trailer parked in the middle of a road. But we're not to be distracted by these things. We're not to be surprised by these things. I'm not going to ask you how you react to these things, but it's important how we react to these things. Teresa Kelvin just let you have it sometimes, doesn't he? I know. And here I am just adding to it, huh? Well, like I tell, we tell anybody, my poor, she's not in here, my poor daughter and her boyfriend, they've been dating for 2 years now. And I think every time he comes through our doors, we're picking on him about something. And I said, look, this is just the Hallinan family. If you're picked on, you know you're loved, because we love you when we pick on you. And we just have fun, and it's all in good jest, good fun. Not coarse jesting, but just fun. Amen? Because laughter is good. Laughter is good medicine. If you ain't laughing, I'm telling you what, you need to find somebody you can get around that is going to help you laugh. If there's no laughter involved in your life right now, you need to get around someone that makes you laugh. Because laughter is good medicine. I'm telling you, it's good medicine. It is good medicine. It does the heart good, does the body good. That sounds like some commercial, but it is. It's scriptural. All right, that was a sidebar. Are we in chapter 8 yet? Let me read verse 1. Therefore, There's a very familiar verse. We're not going to camp out here. We're going to move. I want to get down into some of this other stuff. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk. Now, listen, this is important. Who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own Son, that's Jesus, in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. God condemned sin in the flesh, subdued, overcame, deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. So that the righteous and the just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're to set our minds and seek those things which gratify the Spirit, not gratify our flesh. How easy is it to gratify our flesh? Huh? Let me tell you. I love ice cream. And it is so easy for me to go by Dairy Queen, to lament over Custard Corner no longer being there, to go and buy 3 or 4 half gallons of ice cream at the store because I can't decide on which flavor I want. But I know they'll be there when I want them if I take them all home with me. It is so easy to gratify the flesh. But we're not. We are called to something higher. We are called to gratify the Spirit that dwells on the inside of us if you are Christ Jesus's. Amen? For those, verse 5, who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. You see, when we focus and we gratify the things of the Spirit, it brings peace to our life. When we get in this word and read this word, I think we were talking about it this morning. When chaos is in your life, when you got chaos, when you sense and feel you've got chaos going on in your life, read the word. Read the word. Gratify the Spirit, and that will bring peace into your life. Amen? We need to look beyond our mere mortal bodies and look into the realm of the Spirit, understanding that our flesh cannot and will never please God. But when we possess the Spirit of God through Christ, we possess the righteousness that He imputes to us. Let's find that out in verse 7 here. It says, that is, because the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purposes is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. Oh, but listen. But you are not living the life of the flesh. Someone say, I'm not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit if the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. You see, you are alive because of what Jesus did and his righteousness. Not because of your good deeds, your good thoughts, your good intentions, your good works, but because of Jesus. It's all got to come back to Jesus. I remember several years ago, and I don't know exactly which time it was when he was here, Brother Savelle said this, and it flew all over me because. He said, I got to get back to preaching the cross. Do y'all remember that? I don't know. I didn't get to discuss it with him. I don't know the man personally. But I think there was some correction going on the inside of him. Saying, I've got to get back to preaching the cross. I'm telling you, we can get into all of the words contained in this book. We can quote them. We can talk about them. We can memorize them. We can preach them, herald them to whoever will listen. But if it doesn't come back to Jesus, he's the reason. He's the reason why you and I can sit here today and rejoice knowing where we're going. It's the reason why when conflict arises, when tribulation comes upon us, when bad news hits us, when things aren't going the way that we thought and had planned them out, it's the reason we can still rejoice because of the shed blood of Jesus and because of his imputed righteousness to us. And that is what we need to herald and preach. That is our testimony. That is our witness to a lost and dying world. Amen. And the Spirit of him. Verse 10, let me start there again. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Understanding that these mortal bodies, these earthen vessels, these vessels of clay, house the very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And that Spirit that dwells inside, that is what will restore. You know, we talk about restore. What is our battle cry?
Restore.
Restore. Restore. Restore. Restore. Our battle cry is restore, restore, restore. That is why our battle cry can be restore, because Scripture commands it. If, verse 11, the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And I'm looking out on this crowd today, and I believe that every person in here, the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of them. Now you have to answer that for yourself. Lest he gives me a word of knowledge, I don't know that for you. And if you're here today and you don't know what I'm talking about, then you need to get what we call born again. You need to receive that Spirit unto yourself by receiving Jesus into your life. And when you receive Jesus into your life, that means you agree with what the Word says, that He came and sacrificed Himself for us, shed His blood for you, died on the cross for you, was buried in a tomb for you, was raised from that tomb for you. And if you believe that and say it, then you are born again into eternal life. This is the message of the cross. The simple message of the cross. And that is why we can say our battle cry is restore, restore, restore. I want to read this word that came forth on the 17th. And some of you all were here will remember it. But I wanted to repeat this again. I believe this is of the Lord when I shared it. And we've made copies, so if anybody wants a copy of this, you can have it. But it says, I have a dream that Christian Growth Center would be a place of restoration. That all who walk into this place, and when I say this place, I say you people. All that walk into you would receive restoration. Restoration in their spirit, restoration in their body, restoration in their soul. That they would be of sound mind. Their will would conform with the will of God. That we are a people that would present Jesus to all those in need and they would be restored completely. Nothing missing, nothing broken, complete restoration in all three areas of their being. That is His presence here on earth. That is bringing heaven down to earth by bringing restoration to lives. I dream it. I see it. I sense it. That we are to bring restoration to all those who we come in contact with. Not only here within these four walls, but outside these four walls. When they see us, they do not see us. They see Jesus in us. They see right through us. They see the heart of Jesus. That is my dream. That is heaven on earth to me. It can be done. It will be done. Will we submit to it? Will we let His will be our will here in this earth? Or will we continue to live our lives the way we want to? Will we continue to gratify our flesh? What will we do? What will we do? Choose this day. Choose this day. You see, that's how serious it is, folks. That is the time that we are in. We are coming to a time where people are going to have to make a choice. And I want them to make that choice of their own free will, not forced, one way or another. You ever had a decision to make and you didn't have time to ponder it or meditate on it or think about it and you had to make that decision. You had to make it right then. And you felt the pressure of that. And some of us chose the wrong way because of the pressure of that decision. I believe a time is coming where that pressure will happen and people will have to choose and they're going to make the wrong choice because of pressure. The Bible says the heart of men will fail them for the fear. So I want to proclaim, herald, preach the good news so that people make that choice of their own free will ahead of time. That they're prepared for what is coming on this earth. That you're prepared for what is coming on this earth. Amen? For if we live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you're habitually putting to death, that is making extinct or deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You know, when I read that verse again this morning, for all that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. It took me to a scripture, and I think it's in Luke. It was just a moment before I came in. I couldn't find it. If you find it, let me know. Where he says, where the people come and say, Lord, Lord. And he says unto them, depart from me. I never knew you. I put that scripture with this because we can say, Lord, Lord. We can come to church every week. We can do all that we know to do and think is right. But if we are not led by the Spirit of God, he may say, I mean, it's very clear, you know, there are people that knew him, and I think in that same verse it says, but we ate in your presence, we were with you, in your presence. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. So we must be led by the Spirit of God to be the sons of God. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship. In the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father. The Spirit Himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. And if we are His children, then we are His heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. Only we must share His suffering if we are to share His glory. Kelvin did something today, and it just made me ponder and reflect. And we were in our prayer circle here before service, and he says, look to your left and right. You're amongst royalty. You're amongst royalty. Because if we are sons of God, we just read it, we are heirs with Christ. We are kings and priests. You are royalty. And we need to value that. Oh my. Not only in ourselves. I mean, how hard is it for you to believe in and of yourself that you are royalty? But you need to believe that of your brother and sister as well. That are born of God. They are royalty. And you need to value them. We need to value each other. I mean, that's part of the reason why we assemble, and forsake not the assembling together of ourselves, so that we can value one another, because we have all different gifts and we need to value the gift in that person. We need to come together and encourage one another and value each other. We're family. When someone's going through something, seek God. What do they need? What can I do? Do I have a part? Can I give them a card? Say something? Smile at them? What can I do? We need to value one another. And not only that, value the gifts inside of one another. And encourage each other to let that gift flourish within ourselves. Don't we? Wow, y'all are quiet in here. Quiet, quiet, quiet. Only we must share His suffering if we're to share His glory. Verse 18, but what of that? How many have been going through some stuff? You're just going through some stuff lately. Things are happening, whether it be people, circumstances, Things are happening. But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed. And Bob said it this morning, to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. Uncomparable. For even the whole creation, all nature waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons, that's you and me, to be made known, waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. For the creation, nature was subjected to frailty, to futility, condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of Him who so subjected it, yet with the hope that nature, creation itself, will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole creation, all of the irrational creatures, has been moaning together in the pains of labor until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves too, who have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of the blissful things to come. We also groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies from sensuality in the grave, which will reveal our adoption, our manifestation as God's sons. For in this hope we were saved. But hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope, for we can want. For how can one hope for what he already sees? But if we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. We're to be patient and have composure. How do you react to circumstances? So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings, too deep for utterances. And He who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what His intent is. Because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. He pleads on your behalf. When you're going through the stuff and you don't know how you ought to pray, pray in the Holy Spirit. And He intercedes on your behalf and prays the perfect will of God for that situation. Specifically, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And it's those tongues that He's talking about, praying in the Holy Spirit when you don't know how you ought to pray. You ever been involved in a situation and you just didn't know what to do? I mean, you flat out did not know what to do, which way to go. I told you when we were horseback riding, this has been several years ago, and we got lost. We were lost in the woods, and it was getting dark, and a storm came in. I mean, lightning flashing, rain pouring down. My map got all soaked. I couldn't even read it anymore. We were lost. And I got to tell you, I failed. My heart failed me that day. I tell on myself all the time, it's all right. My heart failed me that day because we'd come to a fork. We'd come to two paths and I wouldn't know which one to take. Lord, Todd, just get on your knees and pray and He'll show you which way to go. Yeah, I can say that now. But in the moment, I didn't know. Have you ever been in a place like that? Where you've come to a fork in the road. You've got to make a decision and you just can't. You just can't. For whatever reason. That's when it says, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues. And He will intercede on your behalf and pray God's will out for that situation. That's all I had to do. Seems so simple now. You know? Man. I don't know, husbands in here, you know, if you have and you should have a godly responsibility to your spouse to protect them, to care for them, to watch over them. Man, I had my spouse with me and I didn't know what to do. And it was a dangerous situation. I mean, it was cold, raining, and we're lost in the woods. I don't know if any of y'all have ever been lost, ever in your life. I mean, truly lost. Didn't know where you were, didn't know where you were going, and didn't know how to get there. It is no fun. And my heart failed me that day. But we have an answer. It's the Holy One that lives inside of us. So when these circumstances, when all these things are piling upon us, pray in the Holy Ghost. He'll give you direction. That's part of going deeper with God. I'm telling you, He wants that intimate relationship with you where you can pray and receive from Him wisdom and get it liberally. Liberally. Get direction. We're talking about, basically, Romans 8 here, crucifying the flesh. Habitually, each and every day if we have to, and seeking the things of God by seeking His Spirit. Amen? Oh, my. I want to read verse 18 again, but what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us, in us, for us, and conferred on us. Why? Why is He going to do that? Because I believe it's to be a testimony and a witness to God's goodness to the people of this earth that do not have relationship with Him. And when we feel like we can't bear it anymore, the Holy Spirit will come to our aid. Amen? So too, 26. The Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness, for we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought, but the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And He who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what His intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of me. You can say that and make it personal. On behalf of me, according to and in harmony with God's will. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, our labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. We talked about earlier, you might have had a plan for your life and it didn't go the way you expected. I'm telling you, He has a path, and you're on that path, and it's brought you to this place here, right now, this time, this season that we are in. He has appointed you, destined you to be here. I'm not talking about here in this building. I'm talking about in this earth for such a time as this. For those whom He foreknew of, whom He was aware of and loved beforehand, He also destined from the beginning, foreordained them to be molded into the image of His Son and share inwardly His likeness, that He might become the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom He thus foreordained, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified, that is, acquitted, made righteous, putting them in right standing with Himself. And those whom He justified, He also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition of state of being. Wow. Royalty. What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect, when it is God who justifies, that is, who puts us in right relation to himself? Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquits us? Who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as he intercedes for us? Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation, or calamity and distress, or persecution or hunger, or destitution or peril or sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, beyond debt, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that is good news, people. That is the good news. That is preaching the cross. That is who you are in Christ. That is the victory that you have through Christ. That you are more than a conqueror. You can overcome any situation that you're involved in. Any circumstance. Any trial. Any tribulation. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And you can rejoice in that moment. Because we have to look beyond the present, the here and now. Because we know our future. We know where we are. We know that we are secure. But how many don't? How many need to know that? What is our three-point vision here? Sow, grow, and go. Sowing faith into people's life so that they can grow in righteousness, knowing who they are in Christ, so that they can be established firmly on that foundation, to come what may. They can be established firmly on that foundation. And when they get established firmly on the rock, Jesus, they can take that out. And when I say take it out, they can preach, herald, proclaim the soon coming King and what he has done for them, and change and impact lives all around them. You can do that. We can do that. We must do that. We are called to do that. Each and every day. Each and every day. Doors are open to us each and every day. So I just encourage you this day. Submit to God. Submit to God. And if anything I said is in this book, it's as if it's coming from God himself. And you take it. You chew on it. You meditate on it. Get in the book of Romans. I mean, We're just at the tip of the iceberg with this. We got to go deeper. We got to get down and go deep so that we are firmly planted for the time that is at hand. A time like no other on this earth we are getting into. And you got to get a revelation of this. You are appointed for this time. You are destined for this time. You are here for a purpose. Don't think that your life has no meaning, has no purpose. Don't think that you just get up every day and go through the same routine, go to work, come home, fix dinner, go to bed, get up the next day and do... Yes, we do that, but you are here, destined for this time, this season in the earth, for such a time as this, for a purpose, unique, special unto you. Even if it's just to win one. If there's a million of us winning one, that's a lot of people. One heart at a time. Just start there. One heart at a time. I'm telling you, your life has purpose. Your life has meaning. God loves you. Oh, He loves you. He loves you so much. He sent His Son to die for you. That's how much He loves you. How many of you would send someone you loved knowingly to die so that a people you don't even know could live? That's what God did. Sent His Son. And we have a responsibility to advance the kingdom of God in this earth. We have a responsibility to advance the kingdom of God in this earth. One heart at a time. One heart at a time. Like the old boy said, how do you eat that elephant? One bite at a time. It may seem like a monumental task. It may seem huge in your natural eye. Just like that elephant. But you can eat that whole elephant just one bite at a time. So one heart at a time, we go after it. We go after the vision one heart at a time. And watch what the Lord will do. Just watch. Y'all with me? Y'all agree with that?
Yes.
I think we're in for... I think that... I don't want people's hearts to fail. Don't want your hearts to fail in that moment. I don't want fear to come upon you. That's not of God. He's not giving you that spirit of fear. There is a spirit of power on the inside of you. There's a spirit of love inside of you. And you have a sound mind. When the enemy will try to bring confusion, distraction, fear of life. You get in the Word and you say of the Lord. And you submit to God and you watch that liar flee from you. Watch him flee from you. Amen. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to bring your word before our ears. And Lord, I pray that each person here today, Holy Spirit, seal these words to them. Let them meditate. Let them walk through open doors. Let them see their lives as having meaning in this earth. Let them rejoice, even in their trials and in their tribulations. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength. When they are weak and feel they can't go on, Holy Spirit, you come to their aid. Angels, bear them up. Bear them up, lest they dash their foot on a stone. Bear them up and watch the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Amen.